get prayed over and leave. They don't stay. Don't have to stay for the whole time, but they can. Okay. I'm so geeked about sharing with you this morning because this is when we were getting ready to go to Africa. The Lord gave me one message. And so I had looked at, I had told Apostle on the plane, I said, I don't know, I've got one message. You might have to handle everything else by yourself. So, this is what I'm going to share today is that message because every church I was in, you know, we don't repeat sermons. You won't see us doing that, but there are times when the message has to be shared and it has to, the message has to be repeated. So, and we got home and I said, I just really feel like at some point when you are ready, you need to, if you will be so gracious, let me share. So this is what's coming today. We're going to be talking about open heaven. We're going to be talking about eternity. And how we view it. And so, Lord, I just ask that you just settle on each one. I ask that you open our ears, our spiritual ears, and our spiritual understanding so that we know how to apply what we're hearing, Father, after we leave this place. Amen. I don't know how long this is going to take me. Titus tends to tell me that him and me and his papa will talk forever. So I hope I don't talk to ever forever today, but I'm going to talk till I'm done. So if you got to leave, leave. But we need to get through this. So I just want to start with how the Lord kind of brought this about for me. You've heard us, if you've been in the house for any length of period of time, you've heard us over and over and over talk about Matthew 6:10. It's a verse found in the middle of the Lord's Prayer. Jesus is telling his disciples, this is what you should pray. This is how you should talk to the Heavenly Father. This is what you should ask for. And in the middle of that prayer, there is this verse that I think until recent years, the Church Universal has dismissed or undervalued, maybe that's a better way to put it, and not fully understood what it was telling us. I do believe that the Bible is much more literal than what we give it credit for. I think a lot of times that we want to say that the Bible is more symbolic. I don't believe that that's the case. I think it's more literal, and I think if we took it more literal and at face value for what's printed, I think that we would be changing our experience. And this verse is one of those, Matthew 6:10. And Pastor Tracy is going to help me. I got a lot of verses, okay? A lot of verses today. And so I apologize for that, but not really, because I want you to see that it's in Scripture. And everything that I say today, I want you to go back. I want you to read it for yourself, and I want you to let the Spirit discern for you. Your kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Jesus is saying, I want the things that are happening in heaven to be happening here on earth. I want you to bring it. I want you to ask for it. And as I've just spent more and more and more time just simmering on those words and meditating on them, and I, at one point, I'm like, okay, if that's supposed to happen, there has to be an opening. We're in a temporal realm. That's what earth is. It's a temporal realm. Heaven is an eternal realm. There has to be an opening between the two. If we're supposed to bring heaven to earth, there has to be an opening. There has to be some way to do that. And I'm thinking about this, and so what I normally do is I start going through the Bible, and I find all the places in the Bible where it talks about an open heaven. Pastor Tracy, if you can bring up that list, just the list of verses. This is just some, okay? But I want you to see how many times the Bible talks about either a window of heaven, a gate of heaven, a door of heaven, an open heaven. It is in there repeatedly, Old Testament and New Testament. Some of these, Genesis 28, where Jacob, he is on the ground and it's at night and he sees the angels ascending and descending. And I say to myself, how does that happen? I mean, there has to be an opening at the top of the ladder. I don't believe my God is a God who would have show Jacob angels ascending and descending if they got to the top of the ladder and there was a ceiling that they couldn't get through. It's not what my God does. It's not how he operates. So we have this where he's saying it's ascending and descending. We see 2 Kings 2:11 where we see this is with Elijah. And the Lord takes him into heaven in a whirlwind. Again, there has to be an opening. There has to be some way to get from the temporal into the spiritual, into the eternal, and then back. Two ways. Malachi 3:10, they use this about tithing all the time, but what they should be talking about is the open heaven, because God says, I'm going to open the windows of heaven. I'm going to open them up, and I'm going to pour out a blessing through them. Tells me that there's a way to move what's in heaven to earth. Then we have Matthew 3:16-17. That's Jesus being baptized. You know that. It says he opened the heavens open, and it says a dove descended. It said the voice said, this is my beloved son whom I'm well pleased. John 1:51, Jesus is calling his disciples. He comes upon Nathanael, and we have the same experience that Jacob has, where he says, from this day forward, you are going to see the angels ascending and descending. You're going to see it. You're going to experience it. God is not a respecter of persons. If he did it for Nathanael, he will do it for us. It says, I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if he did it for Jacob, he did it for Nathanael, he'll do it for us today. He's the same. He's not changing. Acts 7:55-56, this is where Stephen is martyred. And it's as he's being stoned, he's the first Christian martyr. As he's being stoned, it says that the heavens opened and he saw Jesus sitting on the right hand of the Father. Said the open heaven. Revelation 4:1. This is John on the Isle of Patmos. And they speak to John and they say, come up here. They're showing John heaven. Come up here. Come look. Come see what I have. Come up. How could he come up if there's no way to get through? See, I think, and I want you to look through these. I want you to see them. These are just some. They mention gates, windows, doors, open heaven, all speaking of this back and forth, this opening between the temporal and the eternal. And I said to myself, okay, so Matthew 6:10, so there is a way to do it. God has provided an opening for us to experience this. So what is holding us back? What is keeping us from really understanding and experiencing and bringing to heaven, to earth, where I am right now? What is holding us back? Me as a person, us as a people, the church universal, what is holding us back? And I came to this decision, and you may agree or not, but as you meditate, you just let the Spirit talk to you. I've decided that the church has bought into one of the biggest lies that Satan has ever fed us, and we've swallowed it hook, line, and sinker. And that is that we are not living in eternity right now, but that we have to wait for eternity. Because it's in eternity where heaven is. I want to say that again. We believe that eternity starts at the point that we die. That's the lie we've bought into. We are eternal beings. I want to show you in scripture, and I just thank the good Lord. I praise him for our Wednesday night group, because I'm telling you, this is where I figured out this next step is in Wednesday night. I encourage you to get there. And I hope this Wednesday we're going to pick up with Al, if you'd bring your material again, because we didn't have a lot last week, and we're going to let Al share. But I want to take you, because as we're going through books of the Bible, and we read all these scriptures, and they laugh at me because I say, oh, this is my favorite. And then they're like, where's your favorite today? But I'm telling you, as you go through these books, there's always something new to learn, something we've missed. And so going over it again and again and again, you start to get these revelations. Remember, it says in Proverbs that it is for a God to conceal a matter. It is for a king to search it out. And we are kings according to Revelations chapter 5. Says he's called us to be kings. He's given us authority. So we have to search things out. So as we were doing, as we were in 2 Timothy, and if you'd bring that verse up, it's 2 Timothy, it's 1:9. I think we took one whole night just on chapter 1. I don't even think we got through the first 7 verses. But this verse, as we were doing Timothy, it just smacked me in the face. Who has saved us, called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us, in Christ Jesus before the world began. There are two key words here, us and before. And I read that, and I'm like, oh, no, wait a minute. We got to stop. I'm doing my own prayer time, my Bible study prior to Wednesday night, and I'm looking at this going, wait a minute, whoa, back up. Because what I'm finding, and again, it doesn't matter. We've been in ministry 40 years. It doesn't matter. The Bible's always got something new for us. And I've learning, thanks to my hubby, who challenges me, pushes me, like he does you, to look at the words. Look at the specific words. They are not randomly picked. So when he says, given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, I had to stop in my tracks. Oh, wait a minute. That means, if I'm going to take this literally, which I am, that means, as an eternal being, because I am an eternal being, here's proof of it, because this was before the world was formed. It's there. Before Genesis, before Adam, I am a spiritual being, and the Lord knew me. I had to stop. I know this is different teaching probably than some of you have heard, but I'm telling you, go home, read it for yourself, stew on it, let the Spirit talk to you. I got thinking Genesis. Well, maybe Adam was the first person put in this temporal realm. Maybe it wasn't just, hey, it's the first time ever man was created. Maybe it's the first time that he put a spiritual being into a physical form. Does that make sense? I got no way to prove it. I'm just telling you what I'm chewing on. I want to give you another verse, Jeremiah 1. Then this is Jeremiah. This is the first chapter of Jeremiah. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, here we go again, before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. Before you were conceived. Are you following this? Before. Not during, not after, not while. The word is before. Before. And if Jeremiah, if God knew Jeremiah before he was formed in his mama's belly, then guess what? He knew me before I was formed in my mom's belly, and he knew you before you were formed in your mom's belly. He had a plan. He knew you. You are an eternal being now. We happen to be eternal beings living in a temporal realm. I kind of, you know, I have to get these visuals, and you guys know this. So I have this visual of forever, eternity, being like a house with different rooms. I happen to be in the room right now where my spiritual man is encased in a physical body in a temporal realm. Is that making sense? It's only this portion of eternity. He obviously knew me before I came to this realm. And we know as Christians that at the point of death, that we go to another realm, which we've always thought of as being the eternity. But we are living in our eternity now. We just happen to be in this portion of the house. I've been a nurse for almost 40 years. I have been in ministry for almost the same amount of time. I can guarantee you I have sat at a lot of deathbeds. I have seen a lot of dying. Been at a lot of funerals. I am at the point now that I almost can't handle it when somebody is saying, I just can't wait to get to heaven. It's at this point now, it's making me upset. Because that's not what Jesus said. He said, bring heaven to earth. He said, open the heavens. He said, you have access. We are living beneath our privilege. You want to know why you don't see signs, wonders, miracles? Because you think you're still in a temporal place, in a temporal body. 2 Corinthians, if you go there, Pastor Tracy, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. For which cause we faint not, but through our outward man, though our outward man perish, yet the inward man, the eternal man, is renewed day by day. Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. And this is the verse, while we look not at the things which are seen, don't look at the temporal, but we look at the things which are not seen. The open heaven, what does Jesus want to bring? What are we not seeing that he wants to bring to us? For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things that are not seen are eternal. You can see the physical body. You cannot see your inner man. Your inner man is eternal. You can see what's already in front of you on this earth. You cannot see what is in the heaven that's eternal that we're supposed to bring here. What are some of those things? I started reading through Revelations. You find it in Revelations 21 and 22. If you want to read about what heaven is and what God says, you know, it says that there isn't any death. There isn't really death. There is death if you don't know Christ. It is an eternal death, he tells us. But if you know Christ Jesus, if you've accepted him, asked him to forgive your sins, and you have asked him into your heart, you are an eternal being. You have eternal life according to John, 1 John chapter 5. You have it. It's a transition. It's hard on us. this week, I know, all across the world, it was horrific. We don't even know the man, but we know what he represented. Values that we believe in. We believe in the family. We believe that Christ died for us. We believe that he set a standard for us and that we need to meet it. And we believe that we are supposed to be sharing that with those around us. Death, as hard as it is, because we are in an earthen vessel, according to Corinthians. We are living in a temporal realm in an earthen vessel. The earthen vessel has a hard time processing such events. But our inner man, our eternal man, who we really are, according to 2 Timothy and according to Jeremiah and according to all that the Word says, that death is not to be afraid of. It is a transition from this room in eternity to the next room in eternity. That's what it is. It is a transition. We're going through a door. And that's why this week, one of the things that Apostle found and shared with me, it's from James O'Keefe. He is the founder of Project Veritas. And I'm not getting political on you today. I'm just telling you where the man came from. He shared with a group of men. And he said, if you're going to do the kind of work, and I'm going to say, he was talking about Charlie Kirk, but I'm going to say about us, because this lines up with Scripture perfectly. He says, if you're going to do this kind of work, and you're going to stand for your faith in a world that is innately evil, then there is no price, not $1 million, not $2 million, not $4 million, that you can be bought out. The cost, if you need to give it, is your life. So why the Word says, he who loses his life will find me. Because Charlie Kirk, as we should also understand, is that death is a transition into another room in eternity. If you are God's children, there is nothing to fear. And he controls the keys of life and death. As hard as it is for us in this earthen vessel, he controls the keys. His life could not be taken unless the Lord allowed it. We don't understand. We don't understand when we lose our loved ones. We don't. It hurts. But there is no death according to heaven. According to Revelations, we're supposed to bring that from heaven, that understanding from heaven down to earth. We're supposed to pass that on. We're supposed to share according to our testimony and what people witness in our life, that is what I want. That I want to grab hold of that. I want to understand, and I don't want to be afraid. You know, Hebrews 2:15, it says that there are people all of their lives who are afraid of death. Hebrews 2:15, it's in there. It's prego. There isn't crying. Joel's right. You need to go watch that video. If you haven't watched the video of Erica Kirk, you need to watch it. It's like 16 minutes long. No crying. Revelations 21 says that you wipe the tears away. It doesn't say that there aren't tears. It says it wipes them away. When it says no crying in the Greek, that word crying is talking about a loud outburst. You didn't see that. You know why? Because she was living. If there was ever a moment when you wanted to witness an open heaven, it is on that video. However, she got up in front of a nation, in front of a world, and spoke about her faith and her children and the ministry, the work that her husband did, experiencing the loss with just wiping tears like Revelations 3 says, 21:3. That's an open heaven. That's the no crying. One of my favorite ones is Revelations 22, verse 2. In the midst of the street, now there's a street. There's a river coming down from the throne room, it says, and there is a street. And on the street, and either side of the river, there was there the tree of life, which bare 12 banners of fruits and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. That word healing in the Greek is referring to physical healing. Now, you tell me why, if there's no sickness, no pain, no crying, no death, none of those things, why is there a tree in heaven that has leaves for healing, physical healing? There has to be a reason, because my God is not illogical. Why is there a tree? See, over and over, when you read your Bible, you have got to be looking at individual little words like all, never, before. You've got to be paying attention to these little words. Why is there a tree? And ask questions. Why is there a tree in heaven, a place where there's no pain, no sickness, no crying? Why is there a tree for physical healing in the leaves? The only reason I can come up with, in my limited understanding, is that there is an open heaven. And we're supposed to bring through the window, the door, the gate, the opening, what is in heaven. And we are supposed to bring healing to earth. He's our healer. He's our great physician. He's called Jehovah Rapha, the healer. Here it is. This is what we're supposed to bring. Why are there gifts of healing? Because there's leaves for physical healing on a tree in heaven. And we're supposed to go through the opening and we're supposed to bring it down. Revelations 4, come up here. Come up. And then go back and take it to earth. Demonstrate who I am and what I have. You are an eternal being, but if you cannot get your head around the fact that you are living in your eternity right now, you're going to have a hard time trying to understand an opening into the heavens that takes you from the temporal to the eternal realm. You have to start with yourself. You have to start with embracing who you are as God's child, as his chosen. Let's just take you to another verse, because I just want to give you some verses to chew on. Psalms 23, verse 6. Here's another one. How many times have you read the 23rd Psalm? How many times have you had somebody say it to you? How many times have you said it yourself? How many times have you heard it at a funeral? Look at this verse. Surely goodness, mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I will dwell in the house of the Lord. What's the last two words? Forever. What's forever? Does forever start when you die? Forever started long before this earth existed. Long before. Forever is right now. Forever is what to come, is what to come. I hope you're getting it. This changes who we are. This changes how we see ourselves. This changes really how we should conduct our lives. We should not be embarrassed to talk to somebody. When was that? Just ask yourself, when was the last time that you talked to somebody outside of this room, talked to them about Jesus? When was the last time? Now ask yourself, if you understood that you are an eternal being and you really truly embraced that because you're an eternal being, you have access to the throne room and all the things that God has for you, would that shift? I hope it would. Would that shift how you talk to the people around you? I had a great moment. I'm telling you, I was in Atlanta all this last week. I had this wonderful moment with one of my faculty, and we were talking, and she happens to be, she's a Christian. And she said, there's just some times when I just would just love to be able to pray with some of my students, but I know that I'm not supposed to. I'm a manager. I'm like, no, stop right there. We have to be who God calls us to be. We have to be a witness. We have to. I don't want you being anybody other than who God called you to be. You're His daughter. And if the Holy Spirit is leading you to pray with one of your students, I want you to do it. You just do it. You go for it. We're not going to operate in fear. We have nothing to fear. The worst of the worst in the bigger picture is death. And death for a Christian who loves the Lord is just a transition to another realm. It's just going through the door. I want you to take these verses. I want you to read through them. I want you to let this sink into you. I want you to ask yourself, how will this change what I do and how I talk when I'm outside of this room? There is a hurting world. We've seen it this week. They are waiting for the sons of God to arise. That's what Romans says. But if you don't know who you are, not really who you are. If you don't know that you're already living in your eternity, if you don't know that your Heavenly Father has made an opening for you to access everything that you need, you're not going to experience all that He has promised you. And the people around you who you are supposed to impact are going to miss out on what the Lord has for them. You're an eternal being living in your eternity, and you have things available. Come up here, and then descend that ladder of Jacob and Nathaniel, and bring heaven to earth.